your church, that the earth would be filled with your glory as the waters cover the sea. Ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, do take a seat. I'll start off up here. I might pop down. I tend to move around a little bit. But it's good to be here. And thank you so much for your support of us and the partnership that we've been building and hopefully continue to build in the future. It's great to be. It's one of the highs, actually, of coming to all has been some of the relationships and the partnerships across the city that we're building, which has been great. Tonight, if you are to draw the face of Jesus, what expression would you put, would you give him? Would he be smiling? Would he be sad? Stern? I don't know if you're allowed to shout out when I talk as well, because in our church people shout out, so you can do that. So if you do want to shout out, do that. It'd make me feel at home. But I don't know if you think about Jesus, like, is a man of sorrows. There's that song in there, Man of Sorrows. The previous chapter, if you looked at it, said he set his face to Jerusalem. He was on it. He suffered pain and rejection. He wept. You know, the moments where Jesus weeps over Jerusalem, he weeps for his friend Lazarus. But he wasn't miserable, was he? Through it all, there's this joy that comes through in the life of Jesus, a solid joy that exists in the heart of God. In the life of Christ, there's a joy that just shines through time and again. It's there in the prophets in the Old Testament, the prophetic voice that speaks. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, the light has dawned. You have enlarged a nation and increased their joy. I'm sure you'll be reading that at your carols by candlelight. The angels come, don't they? We're in this Advent season. The angels come to the shepherds, and what do they say? I bring you great news, good news of great joy that will be for all the people. The wise men, they get there, and they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. There's joy everywhere in the Christmas story, isn't there? Christmas time, a time of great joy. And the Christmas story is full of joy. But maybe you're thinking that's just for a baby. Now, there's a lot of joy in there for babies. Babies born, there's lots of smiles. There's lots of joy that happens. But then life goes on and you get a bit older. And I don't know about you, but joy sometimes has a tendency to fall off. The world has a habit of robbing us of joy. You know, the world can be not a very nice place at times, can't it? Maybe hopes that have not been delivered in life. Maybe bad stuff happens, rejection. Maybe disappointment, maybe hurts, maybe relationships, family, friends let you down, maybe illness, chronic pain, maybe death. And the devil, he seeks to rob us of joy. Often he does it by promising pleasure in the enjoyment of things, but he's ultimately there to destroy joy. I confess, it doesn't take much, does it, for us? If you're honest with yourself, it doesn't take much to lose a bit of joy. I had a tooth taken out this last week, and you soon get miserable, don't you? It's like struggling for a few hours afterwards, or a day or two. But Jesus, he wasn't immune, was he? He wasn't immune. He went through life and faced struggles. He indeed was a man of sorrows. He faced temptations. He faced hurt. He faced betrayal. He faced rejection. He walked a path of suffering. But the question, did he have joy? Did he have joy? Well, get this. Verse 21. I'm not going to do the whole of chapter 10, but we're just going to look at a couple of verses. Verse 21. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Full of joy through the Holy Spirit. He was exuberant with joy. He rejoiced greatly. I don't know how he expressed it, whether it was quietly. Do you know, sometimes I look back in my life and some of those moments of joy, you're just quiet. Do you know that type of joy where you're just content in your joy and you're just quiet, but you're just full of joy on the inside? Or maybe Jesus was jumping up and down. You know, there's times, isn't there, where they thought he was a drunkard because he was partying with people and all that kind of stuff. I don't know how he expressed it in that moment, but however it was, he was full of great joy. And it was a solid joy. It's a picture of Christ, of what he's really like. Picture of God. It's a picture of joy. And I asked that question at the beginning because it matters. It matters how we think, how we picture God, what he's like. Someone said, your view of God is the most important thing about you. So if you think of God as some miserable, stern whatever, you're possibly missing out. So just quickly tonight, we're just going to think, what causes this joy? What causes this joy in Jesus? Well, the first thing he says, his great joy through the Holy Spirit. The source of joy is God. It's not circumstance. Tonight, right now, there might be a few happy people if England wins, full of joy. If they lose, they might be struggling. And we laugh or joke, but actually for a lot of people, probably people where we live and possibly people around here, could be serious, couldn't it? Domestic abuse increases big time when the football's on and things like that. Anyway, joy, the source is God. Not circumstance. And Jesus, it says there, full of joy through the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruits, is joy. And God the Father pours out his love into our hearts. I'm sure that brings joy. And the Spirit is not just for Jesus. The Spirit is given to us who believe. So Jesus experiences joy in the Holy Spirit. And second, what does he do? It says he experienced joy, full of joy, through the Spirit. He said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven. It's the Trinity. He delights in his Father. They delight in one another. He praises his Father as the Spirit brings him joy. You've heard that thing, the dance of the Trinity, the joy in one another. But there's more, isn't there? Specifically now, why is Jesus at this moment full of joy right now? If you have a look, if you've got that open, he says, at that time, what has just been going on at that time? What has just been happening? Well, the 72 have been sent out. They've been sent out to go and share the good news of the kingdom of God. Sent out on mission. And now they've come back. And they're reporting to Jesus. What are they reporting? That souls have been set free. Satan has been cast down, Jesus says. The destroyer of joy is being destroyed as the good news of Jesus has taken hold of people's lives. And they're rejoicing. because salvation has come. I wonder, do you rejoice when people get saved? You know that story Jesus tells in a couple of chapters later, when one lost sheep is found, there's a great party in heaven. Do we rejoice as churches when people come to know Jesus? Jesus is full of joy at that time. In Luke's gospel, just the chapters before, the lady who's been bleeding for 12 years is set free. The little boy who's been seized by a demon is healed and set free. When sinners come into the light and experience Jesus, there's great joy to be had. And you asked at the beginning, what's some of the highs of Brandon? The highs definitely seeing new life and people come to know Jesus and experience him. And as church, we want to celebrate that together. I think for me, one of the things, I think if I look at it in my week, the moments when you go out and I just walk around the estate and meet people and share Jesus with them are probably the most joyful moments. I think it was with Daniel one a year or so ago, just met you out in the street one night and we chatted, and this morning you're leading prayers in church, and it's just been a real joy to see people come in and reviving in faith or coming to faith for the first time. So go out, enjoy. But in this story, it gets even better, doesn't it? And I think this is the thing, when I started looking at this a couple of weeks ago, this is the thing that just stirred me probably more than anything in this passage. And I want us to try and get what he's saying, because it looks deeper into the source of joy. Have a look, if you can, at verse 21. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do." I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. You know, God hides things from some. The wise, the learned. Perhaps the proud or the wise in their own sight. There are some people that don't see the glory of God, the salvation of Jesus. They're hidden from them by God himself. And yet God reveals these things to others, to little children. They get to know the Father, the gospel, the good news of Jesus. So it's not about how good or clever or wise you are. Little ones only see if the truths are revealed to them by God. Salvation is God's work alone. Free grace alone. It's not my effort. And this is good news. Maybe there's someone that you just think they're miles away, they're never going to get it. Well, no one's going to get it unless the Father reveals it to them. See, so much of life is about our own efforts to try and get it. Our own efforts to achieve or whatnot. But this is free grace. Verse 22, what's it say? No one knows who the Son is except the Father. And no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Why does he do it like this? Why one and not the other? Well, it's God's good pleasure. God's good pleasure. Enjoy what you cannot explain. Jesus says, "Yes, Father, it's what you were pleased to do. It pleased you to do it this way." See, Jesus is full of joy at the Father's revelation. of the free gift of grace to sinners like you and me. And we can share in this joy. Jesus tells the 72 that are rejoicing as they come back. He tells them to rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Not because they're wise or learned or because they've gone out and done a load of great things, but because in God's great plan, his free grace, he has chose to reveal this wonderful truth about God to them. And supremely that Christ has died, that they can be forgiven, born again, that they can be filled with the Spirit, they can know the Father. And it's not just for them who saw Jesus face to face. That joy is for us. Even though we do not see him, we believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And it's a marvel of free grace. His revelation to us. And Jesus praises his Father for it. And Paul, in his letters, if you want to read Ephesians, praises the Father for this grace according to his good pleasure. You see, we find joy when this grace hits us. And we can sing and praise. So I guess the question for us tonight is, what do we do with this? Well, I guess we cry out to God for his mercy for those who don't know him. We rejoice if you've received this free grace, that it's all of him and it's none of me. And we come to Jesus. I was reading a book this week, an old Billy Graham book actually. And he said this, he quoted someone who said this. It was because they were a joyful people that the early Christians were able to conquer the world. There might be struggles in life. There will be a path of suffering because Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. But when we know the joy of our salvation, of God's free grace, we can take that to the world around us. And this Christmas time, be like a shepherd and share the good news of great joy with those that we meet and invite them in to come and hear this message of good news. I'm going to pray. Father God, thank you for the joy of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you for our Father who has revealed and poured out your love to us. Lord, tonight may we wonder at the grace given to us. Lord, may we be filled with joy that our names are written in heaven. And Father, we cry out for your mercy. For friends, for family, that you too would reveal the good news of Christ to them. That they would know the joy inexpressible and glorious this Christmas time. Lord, we pray for our church that we would be sharers of this joy. Lord, we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.